Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is an unbelievably busy news day. We're going to track all the big stories today, including a debate happening right now in the House of the Congress over whether or not to censure Paul Gosar from Arizona. We've got the Rittenhouse deliberations continuing. We've got a number of other big stories happening, and we begin, as we often do, with our good friend Breaking Brett Jensen. And by the way, Breaking Brett Jensen and I were just with Dr. Rush Sunar, one of our very good friends and a great sponsor of the program here on WBT. We had a chance to catch up with him. We'll get together before the holidays, and it was a tremendous time. Brett Jensen, you are on important school board meeting watch tonight. What is going on? I know I saw you working the phones, working the sources. What's happening tonight, my friend?
So tonight at 7 o'clock at up in Huntersville, there's a town hall that's taking place. And it's in response to the overwhelming chaos and violence that has been occurring at Hopewell High School. And so they're having a town hall tonight being put forth by Rhonda Cheek, school board member. She's the one who organized this. I mean, they're literally going to have a Spanish interpreter for the Spanish community. There's going to be members of the school board there. I'm not sure exactly how many will be there. You know, as many as four or five, you know, as few as two, we'll see. And so I think the superintendent, Ernest Winston, is expected to show up. And they're going to talk about the violence specifically at Hopewell High School, because if you remember a couple of weeks ago,
right,
you know, we broke the story that, you know, there were a couple of guns on the same day found there. You know, I posted the video, kids getting into a fight and a gun falling out of a kid's pants while they were getting into the fight. And so, and just, there were like six brawls that day, then there were brawls the next day. And so they're just going to talk about things that they can do going forward. I know, you know, from what I understand, that, you know, Ernest Winston is the superintendent is expected to make an opening presentation and speak a little bit to the crowd. And the church holds about 450 people. And you could probably expect anywhere from 10 to 15 media people there when you include the cameramen and the reporter. But they expect a full packed house tonight. And because this isn't just going to be, yes, it's essentially, you know, discussing Hopewell, but it's also going to be about everything encompassing, whether it's going to be just school safety in general, with Hopewell right now being at the forefront. Although, to be perfectly honest with you, there are other high schools that have had way more gun issues and violence issues.
So is it this is just open, obviously, or it's encouraged or whatever, just for the people who are at Hopewell, right?
Yes. Yeah, so you're exactly right. But, you know, look, anyone can show up, but you specifically, in order to speak, they want you to actually have a child at Hopewell. I mean, because there will be other town halls, because this
places,
one apparently is going
right.
to be so successful that, you know, this one's going to be apparently so successful and packed with local. If you got a kid that goes to Harding or South Mac or wherever, like, you're more than welcome to show up if you want, but they don't want you speaking during the, you know, during the presentation, during the Q&A portion.
Is it your expectation, and you can't know this because, you know, you're going to go cover it and then you'll find out what will happen. Is it your expectation that this is going to be just a listen to the community event, or is this going to be a here are some solutions we want to implement event? Because I have to believe if you're not going to offer something on the other side of that conversation, well, the parents are still going to be pretty frustrated, right? Obviously, if they're coming out on a Wednesday night, you know, right before the holidays, they're obviously, they have strong vested interest in the safety at the school. So is this about being heard, or is this about also getting to hear that there's going to be some remediation here?
Well, you know, that's a great point. And from what I understand, CMS and Ernest Winston is going to make, and Rhonda Cheek, they're going to make, hey, here's what we think going forward. They're actually going to put in possible plans,
right?
Or at the least, you know, not put in possible plans, but
propose,
discuss
right?
possible mm-hmm. discuss possible plans or solutions, mm-hmm. things that they're looking to do. A big thing that has been popular lately, that's been discussed in the school board, is making clear backpacks mandatory. You know, and while that seems like a good idea, because I mean, when you go to a Panthers game, women have to have a clear purse.
Sure.
You know, but the problem is, you know, being able of 140,000 students, 137,000 students, how many of them can afford just to go out and get an immediately brand new backpack?
Right. That's a good
point. Just because you said so. And so they're trying to figure out ways to maybe alleviate that and help out the kids. So that one, I'm sure, from what I expect, that's going to be discussed tonight, how that's going and other possibilities as well. So, yes. And then after that presentation and everything is discussed, then the parents will have a chance to ask their questions and then have the people answer them, you know, a couple members of the school board or Ernest Winston actually answer their concerns.
All right. So this is a story that we're obviously going to be watching very closely, and it'll be developing across the night and then into, you know, into tomorrow as well. And, you know, this is a very important story. Is there and I don't expect that there's going to be any kind of an issue, but, you know, are we going to see law enforcement there? You know, we certainly have seen this on the national stage where people have been concerned about safety and security at these events. I'm imagining that there's probably going to be some presence to make sure everybody is cool and calm and collected, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would think that, you know, a few officers from the Huntersville Police Department would be there just to make sure things don't get out of control. You know, I mean, you never mm-hmm. know what's going to happen when you've got 450 angry people there.
Right.
And it has literally nothing to do with political affiliation. It's just about safety. And so, yeah, so, I mean, I would expect a few officers from the Huntersville Police Department there and just, you know, and also maybe to help direct traffic.
For sure.
Everyone's trying to leave at 9 o'clock because it is a hard 9 p.m. cutoff mm-hmm. time. And there will be microphones that people are going to be able to answer their questions into mm-hmm. and speakers. Mm-hmm. So everyone will hear you. So, yeah, it starts promptly at 7 and ends abruptly right at 9 o'clock.
And I am curious to see if any teachers or educators show up and express their concerns.
That's
as
a great
well.
Point. And, you know, that's a very good point. And, you know, obviously the principal and the assistant principals will be there, but that's a great point about the teachers. And just so people will know, I will be doing a live remote mm-hmm. report mm-hmm. at 6 o'clock with Mark Garrison from the church itself. And then tomorrow morning, I'm on with Bo Thompson from 8 to 10, where I will have all kinds of all the information from what happens tonight.
And everything that will develop overnight as well. Brett Jensen, appreciate you heading on up there, and we'll certainly be listening with you with Mark Garrison on Charlotte at 6. Safe travels, my friend.
Thanks a lot, Brett. I appreciate it.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
You got it. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is the Brett Witterbull Show. Our phone number is 704-570-1110. So here's what's all that is going on right now in this country. We've got a bunch of court stuff happening. So we have right now Travis McMichael, who is the defendant, one of the defendants in the Ahmaud Arbery murder case out of Georgia. That is happening in real time. The House of Representatives is debating whether or not to censure Representative Paul Gosar from Arizona on that, what I think is a stupid video, and just I don't understand why someone would put those videos out. But it's a video of him kind of acting under the style of Japanese animation, and he's trying to wipe out the enemies that are hurting the country. And the two people who are prominently featured in this are AOC and President Biden, and so they are now debating whether or not they're going to censure Paul Gosar, who did he did, to his credit, I guess, take the video down. Twitter still has it up because they think it's an important piece of political errata or whatever. And so people are, you know, able to go look at it on Twitter if you want. It's got like 3 billion views. So that's happening. Rittenhouse is happening as well. And there's a couple of other things that we ought to really take a close notice of, right? You know, this vax mandate that it appears, you know, this vax mandate is going to suffer gravely. The Biden-Harris team are looking to continue this fight to push for this OSHA vax mandate that's out there on COVID. The wording and judgments, though, so far bodes well for those who are opposed to this mandate going through OSHA. They've gone through a couple of courts. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth granted that motion to stay. Then it went into, it's going into the Sixth Circuit now as another consideration. It is getting ugly. And what you have happening right now is this administration is taking losses bit by bit by bit. And there are not substantial wins here. And there are people who may disagree with me and they may say, hey, you know, don't be a partisan. I'm being an observer. What are the wins that the president and the vice president are racking up? So you have the infrastructure plan that he signed a couple of days ago. Then he went up to New Hampshire, Woodstock, New Hampshire last night and talked about the decrepit bridges in New Hampshire that need to be repaired. I think he said there's 215 bridges that need attention in New Hampshire. I may be off on that, but I think he said 215. He's talking about the infrastructure plan. They're still trying to figure out Build Back Better. Coming up on Friday, they're going to score the CBO. But you had one of his deputy messaging people come out and say to the press that they don't trust the CBO scoring from the Congressional Budget Office when it comes to scoring the Build Back Better plan, that they don't think the CBO knows how to score that. Do they not understand that you don't have to go out of your way to insult people? You can actually just wait and see what that CBO score is going to say rather than preemptively coming out and saying, we don't really care how they score it. They don't know what they're talking about when it comes to scoring the CBO on the Build Back Better plan. And all that means is how much is it ultimately going to end up costing? What is the damage that's going to be done? It's going to be that kind of a piece of analysis. And in fact, I can jump into that, and I will over the course of the next couple of hours. I have actual numbers that I pulled from a couple of different locations. Heritage has numbers, but so does the Tax Foundation. And these numbers, they don't look so good when it comes to what this Build Back Better plan, which is the big social spending plan, is going to do for the economy and what it's going to do for jobs and taxes and all that sort of stuff. They keep telling us that this is a guaranteed way to fight inflation. It's really not. If the issue is the bathtub is overflowing, the last thing you need to do is empty a couple more 5-gallon buckets of water into the bathtub. You're going to create a bigger mess. And by pumping more and more money into the economy in these ways, it's going to get messy very, very quickly. In fact, I got into this yesterday talking to the college students that I mentioned. And one of the things that they didn't quite understand was, well, it's good that we're going to have universal pre-K. It's good that we're going to have younger kids starting school earlier and that there's going to be elder care. But what they didn't understand, and what many people, I think, and I'm not insulting people by saying they're dumb, they don't know, they just haven't thought this out. If you decide you want to start pushing universal pre-K and daycare as young as 3 so that parents can go to work, you do understand that you have to have a staff up of those people that are going to come in and do those jobs. You do understand that if you're going to do elder care, you are going to have to go out there and hire people to take care of the elderly in their homes in home care, right? I mean, that's just a fact. And you have to figure out what it's going to cost to pay somebody who is competent and licensed to do those sorts of things. One number I saw indicated that for the pre-K teachers, for those universal pre-K kids, we're talking about paying these teachers $39 an hour. $39 an hour. That's a pretty substantial amount of money. I wasn't a math major, but $39 an hour and 40 hours of work a week is $1,560 a week. And then you spread that out across 4 weeks, that's $6,200 a month. Would you go to work for $6,200 a month, making $75,000 taking care of pre-K? Probably would. You might take that job, but you have to find people that are qualified. You have to ramp it up. You have to bring it to bear. Same thing with people who are going to be taking care of the elderly, which means you can't just immediately go back to work. We have to go and find the people to be those teachers. We have to find the people to be licensed. We have to find the people to get staffed, then put them in a place where those kids are going to learn. What I'm saying is it's a much longer term proposition. It's not going to get rid of the inflation tomorrow. it's going to take a lot longer than people are counting on. And it's important to understand what that means. And you still have to see what it's going to do in terms of productivity and what it's going to cost the economy. Opportunity costs, you know what that is, right?
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
I do. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. Great to be here with you. Lots of stuff that are happening out there. You know, I'm amazed by a couple of things, and one of them is this idea that we can fix everything by spending just inordinate amounts of money on it. I mentioned this earlier about what it is that's going to happen with this Build Back Better plan, because it's very important to pay attention to this. I mean, it is very, very important to understand what it is that the super wealthy people who are in Washington, D.C., working as congressmen and senators have planned for us, okay? So the free child care concept that is out there that I was just talking about a couple of minutes ago, one of the more expensive and potentially transformational provisions included in that reconciliation package, the Build Back Better plan, is a new child care entitlement that would pay for 100% of child care costs for families making less than their state's median income. So you say to yourself, wow, that's a pretty big group of people. You're not kidding. It's a very large group of people. It'll pay 100% of child care costs for families making less than the state's median income, which on balance is $100,000 nationwide. So if your family makes less than $100,000, you would be eligible for 100% of child care costs. Families making up to 2.5 times their state's median would pay no more than 7% of their income towards child care. Subsidies would top out at $429,000 of income. So they're going to subsidize your child care up to $429,000 in income for a family of four living in Washington, D.C. And lawmakers have removed a provision that would have prevented millionaires from receiving subsidies. Nearly every family in America would be eligible for free child care. So you heard what I said before, right? Where are you going to find these child care people that are going to be paid by the feds to take care of your kids? By establishing a new right to top-tier child care, it may seem that the program will make child care accessible and affordable. Not so fast. A lot of strings are attached to the program. Strings that will drive up those costs and, ironically, prevent the majority of current child care providers from qualifying for government subsidies. What do you mean? Well, while unlimited taxpayer spending would cover higher costs, potentially leading to new child care programs, few providers would be willing to establish child care programs that would be unaffordable to families once the subsidies run out in 2027. The program's requirements, including paying, quote, a living wage that is over $39 an hour for a single mom in Boston, could double child care costs. Wait, so when the government spends on something, the stuff gets more expensive? Yes, now you're getting it. Perhaps the biggest failure of the new child care entitlements, this is what's in front of the Congress right now, is that it treats providers that accept subsidies as recipients of federal financial assistance. That's a big deal because unlike current child care grants, what it means is that faith-based providers cannot operate their programs or hire their staff based on the religious beliefs and their mission statements. So you wouldn't be allowed to pray before meals. You wouldn't be able to talk about the Judeo-Christian account of creation. No religious foundations included in teaching about sharing, telling the truth, and being kind to others. That's a piece of analysis that was done over at the Heritage Foundation. Now, that's pretty incredible. I mean, am I wrong in that regard? That's a pretty incredible thing. So up to a millionaire, you're going to get subsidized child care. But those religious-based institutions or values-based institutions, and look, it cuts across the spectrum. It's Judeo-Christian. It could be Islamic. It can be Buddhist. It can be, you know, Sikh. It could be Hindu. You name it, Jain. It can be any faith tradition. You're not allowed to talk about that faith if you're taking the money from the federal government. I'm astounded by that. I thought it was about taking care of the children. Can somebody tell me if this is really about taking care of the children? The children.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com. and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterville Show. Coming up in moments, something you didn't know about the Capitol riot, but you will know about it in a moment. Let me jump out and talk to Rich first up here. Hey, Rich, welcome to the program. What's on your mind, sir? Hello, Rich. Hello, Rich. Rich going once. Rich going twice. Isn't that Rich? He was going to ask me what happened to the missionaries that got kidnapped in Haiti. Where are they? They're still in Haiti. I know, you would think, right? You would think that the Biden administration, who is really good at international diplomacy and relationships, except for when you're talking to China and the Taliban and other folks, you'd think like they'd be able to dispatch somebody to go get these hostages out. They're still being held hostage in Haiti. In fact, WJW out of Cleveland reports that Tuesday of this week marked 1 month since 17 people affiliated with a Northeast Ohio missionary group were kidnapped in Haiti. They have not had any action taken to rescue them, bring them back, repatriate them, any of that sort of stuff at all. There is a local congressperson a state rep named Reggie Stahlsfuss, and he has called on congressional leaders to take action. He's urging them to act. See, the Congress can't really do much about this. This is the problem. That's why you have a president, you have a State Department. But what you don't have is the thing you most need in this regard, and that is a functioning government in Haiti. It's essentially warlordism and strongmen that are controlling different aspects of the country. So in many ways, it resembles more what you used to see being the rule of thumb in, say, Lebanon, Beirut, where you would have different groups, factions controlling different parts of the country, or even, you know, Syria or Iraq at a certain point, or Afghanistan. You don't have a functioning government. Who do you talk to? You have to then go find the people who kidnapped them, pay them the ransom, and get the people out. That's a very tall order, and that's a very difficult thing. And, you know, it's a shame. It is a shame that this continues to happen. But every time we have a crisis like this where we appear to be rendered impotent, it makes us look really bad on the world stage. And it makes us look feckless and powerless and, you know, frankly, like we've got low B. 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Jacob Chansley. You remember Jacob Chansley from the famous January 6th riot. He would be the spear-carrying, buffalo head, bare chest face paint guy that made him one of the most recognizable people there at the assault. He has now been sentenced to 41 months in prison. The January 6th rioter, who carried a spear and wore horns, got 41 months in prison. So reports the Associated Press. His name's Jacob Chansley. As I mentioned, he pleaded guilty to a felony charge of obstructing an official proceeding, was among the first rioters to enter the building. He's acknowledged that he used a bullhorn to rile up the mob, offered thanks in a prayer while in the Senate for having the chance to get rid of, quote, traitors, and scratching out a threatening note to Vice President Mike Pence saying, it's only a matter of time, justice is coming. Though he isn't accused of violence, prosecutors said Chansley of Arizona was the public face of the Capitol riot, who went into the attack with a weapon, ignored repeated police orders to leave the building, and gloated about his actions in the days immediately after the attack. Before he was sentenced, Chansley told the U.S. District Judge Royce Lamberth that it was wrong for him to enter the Capitol, that he accepts responsibility for his actions. He emphasized he wasn't an insurrectionist and is troubled with the way he's been portrayed in news stories in the aftermath of the riot. I have no excuse, no excuses whatsoever. My behavior is indefensible. The judge said Chansley's remorse appeared to be genuine, but noted the seriousness of his actions in the Capitol. What you did was terrible. You made yourself the center of the riot. The image of Chansley holding the flagpole topped with a spear tip and looking as if he were howling was one of the most striking images to emerge from the riot. He previously called himself the QAnon shaman, but has since repudiated the QAnon movement, which is centered on the belief that President Trump was fighting a cabal of Satan-worshipping, child sex trafficking cannibals. God, there's just so much you have to unpack on that designation. That's why I just did nothing but revile and mock QAnon during the heyday of QAnonism. Chansley is among 650 people charged in the riot that forced the lawmakers into hiding. You know all the results after that. Chansley and Scott Fairlamb, a New Jersey gym owner sentenced last week for punching a cop during the attack, have received the longest prison sentences out of the 38 Capitol defendants so far. So Chansley's been in jail for 10 months. Sought to get his sentence to be time served. He has long-standing mental health problems that were worsened by being held in solitary confinement. So now he's doing 41 months. 41 months. How much time are the drug traffickers, cartel members, human traffickers, child rapists that are trafficking children across the border? How much jail time are they doing? Can somebody ask Ali Mayorkas? And by the way, if Jacob Chansley is the face of the Capitol riot, and I guess Kyle Rittenhouse is the face of the Kenosha riot, who was the face of the riots in Seattle? Who was the face of the riots in New York City? I mean, so there has to be a face of the riot, doesn't there? I've come upon a solution to all this rioting, and no doubt there's going to be rioting in the wake of the Kenosha verdict. Folks are making it pretty abundantly clear in that city and that town that they want to break stuff and set stuff on fire. In fact, there are people who are hanging banners out in front of their homes trying to preemptively ask the rioters who are going to come in to destroy private property, please, there are children that live here. Like, in other words, don't burn the house down. That's not going to do much. As far as I can tell, but I've got a way to fix it, and I got a way to fix it at the federal level, and I'm going to share it with you straight ahead. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110-993-WBT.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com. and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterble Show. Hour number two now underway. So how much are you paying for gasoline, and what's your plan? Serious question. Are you changing your holiday plans based on this inflation? Are you inviting fewer people based on the Tony Fauci and the pandemic guidelines that are happening right now during the pandemic? Are you changing the way you're living your life? Certainly a year ago, we figured that by now we'd probably be out of this mess. Well, we're not really out of this mess. And it's not even a mess of COVID per se. It's really a mess of government and governance. We hear every single day that we're not underneath 5% positivity in Mecklenburg County for 5 days in a row. So we got to all continue to wear the masks. Gotcha. Understood. But once we go 5 days below 5%, then we can wear the masks. We can not wear the masks until we get one day that's more than 5%. And then now suddenly the face diapers are all back on everybody's face. So, you look at this as we get into this Christmas season, this holiday season, this Thanksgiving season, the end of the year season, and you say to yourself, wow, here goes another year that we burned. I mean, think about it, folks. We burned the tail end of 19. We burned all of 20. We've burned all of 2021. And what do we have to show for it? inflation. And just to prove to you that everything old is new again, we're getting ready to see if there's going to be riots that are going to take place in Kenosha, Wisconsin, in the wake of the verdict. You've got a federal, you've got a regular judge, just a municipal judge, in Bruce Schroeder, who's been getting death threats from people in communities surrounding, and no doubt nationally. People think that they're tough guys and they can transmit threats across state lines and say that they're going to kill the judge, they're going to hurt his family and all that kind of stuff. You've got pre-positioned protesters chanting and yelling and screaming in an effort, I think, to intimidate this jury into getting the verdict that they want. But the fact of the matter is, I think there'll be a riot either way. I think no matter what the decision is, that he did murder those people, that he didn't murder those people, I think you're going to end up with a riot situation. And that's a shame, because any houses, any property that's going to be destroyed is going to be doubly struck, because it's hard to get stuff to replace what got destroyed. We have a supply chain shortage. Whatever gets destroyed is going to be a long time in repairing. You can't even really get your hand on plywood to put up over your windows. So as I mentioned in that last hour, there are people who are putting up banners that say children live here, as if you can reason with a mob. And I don't think you can. And that's a very unfortunate thing. Somewhere along the way, societal norms broke and became damaged. And the damage is very, very serious, whether it's rioting in American cities or rioting in the Capitol. That's not who we are as a country. And I understand all the famous quotes. I've seen them and I've heard them on programs. People like to paraphrase and or quote the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., who said, riots are the voice of the unheard, the frustrations of the unheard. I'm paraphrasing that. I'm not getting it perfect. But nevertheless, I don't believe that violence solves anything except for an immediate bit of danger in which innocent lives are being threatened, meaning bad guy pulls gun, threatens to shoot person. I believe that that's a justifiable shooting if you're saving another life. But that's pretty much what I'm limiting it down to. The preservation of innocent life is an important value. So how do we fix this riot stuff? What do we do with this riot stuff? The fact of the matter is, in a place like Wisconsin, it's going to be hard fought to fix that, because you have an orientation towards the acceptance of violence in streets. You just do. You have progressive governance there, just like you had in New York City, just like you have in Chicago, Illinois, just like you had in St. Louis, Missouri, just like you've had in Seattle and San Francisco and Los Angeles. These big blue cities tend to tolerate behavior that ought not be tolerated. And it's always the working class and the folks that are at the lower end of the economic spectrum that suffer the most. It's not somebody sitting in a big mansion in Bel Air in L.A. It's not somebody sitting in Beverly Hills. It's not somebody sitting behind a gated mansion in some fancy, suburb somewhere. It's the people that have to actually live in communities that are targeted for destruction. So how do we fix this sort of thing? I have a proposal. It's going to be wildly unpopular, but I really don't care. I mean, if you want to challenge me on it, you can. It's just an idea. You tell me what your idea is. It's this. In a place like Kenosha, Wisconsin, or in a place like Seattle, a place where you've seen riots occur on an ongoing basis. You saw it also in Portland, Oregon. In a place where those things have happened, I would establish a system that would force people going into those areas to carry a riot bond. Seriously. Post a riot bond. Well, nobody knows if you're going to be rioting. Well, you can pretty much tell that rioting might break out. And if you decide that you want to go into that zone when a curfew has been called or some other such thing has happened, then you're going to have to be carrying with you a riot bond. A riot bond in a pretty substantial amount. I'm talking about probably north of $150,000. So that if the stuff turns bad, we know who to go to collect that money. See, it shouldn't be the taxpayers that pay for the damage when people actually commit the damage and the violence. It should be the people that commit the damage and the violence that are on the hook for the money. If you can't afford a riot bond, then don't go in and try to involve yourself in a riot. And you and I both know that people are mature enough to understand the difference between a riot and a protest. A protest is yelling and screaming and demanding reform and that sort of stuff. A riot is the first time a window is broken. A car is set on fire. A police car is ignited. That sort of stuff. A person is assaulted by people who are carrying skateboards or nightsticks, wearing helmets, and that are dressed in the appropriate gear that you would bring to a riot. And no, I don't think having press spray painted on the back of your helmet means that you're not a rioter. If you're carrying weapons, you're likely a rioter. So if you want to go into those areas and destroy cities, somebody's got to pay for it. And I don't believe it ought to be the law-abiding residents of cities and states that have to clean up the mess that you've created. So what I think ought to happen is you carry a riot bond, and if you're arrested and you don't have a riot bond in a riot and you've been destroying property, you're going to do 10 years in jail. See, because all we need is compliance. All we need is a riot bond mandate. It can be ordered through OSHA. It can be ordered through the federal government. Do you have any sort of a loan that's guaranteed by the federal government? Student loans? Home loans? Are you on the system receiving benefits from the federal government? Then the federal government can mandate that you carry a riot bond. Well, where am I supposed to get the riot bond? Well, we'll create a market for that. You'll be able to go to a company. You'll go to the XYZ insurance company and say, hi, I'm thinking about going to the riot on Saturday night. I need to buy a riot bond. Really? How much coverage do you need? I have to have at least $150,000 in riot bond coverage. Okay, that's going to cost you. We're going to give it to you for $1,100. But you're going to give us $1,100 in cash right now. We're going to give you the riot bond. If the Kenosha PD arrests you and you're accused of committing violence, they can take the $150,000 out of our end. Okay, what happens if nothing ends up happening? No, the riot bond expires at the conclusion of the riot that you're going to. So you want to go on Saturday and Sunday and Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday? It's going to be $1,100 each night. And if you're caught and you don't have the riot bond, you're going to face consequences in the court system. Again, it's a mandate. We're going to mandate a riot bond. You have to carry it because somebody's got to pay for the damage to the school, to the streets, to the businesses. Somebody's got to pay for it. And it may as well be the people that are doing the bombing and the rioting and the burning and the beating. And I don't care who it is. Proud Boys, Antifa, whoever it is, if you're going in there to do it, it's coming out of your...
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Friend. Just scared some children out there. 704-570-1110. What is going on? Josh, gentleman Josh and TJ in here. Who is that, TJ?
That was Maylene and the Sons of Disaster.
Oh, Maylene and the Sons of Disaster. I should have known that. Darn it.
They're a Jesus band.
It's a great band. I appreciate it. It's good to be here with each and every one of you. All right. Is it possible that Joe Biden is plotting with the House to give the vice president the boot? That's the reporting out of Monica Showalter at the American Thinker. Now, this isn't coming totally out of left field. Chad Pergram, who works as the Fox News Capitol correspondent, says that he's been hearing weird rumblings about this, and he has been trying to run this down to figure out what the story is here. Here's how it goes. Is Joe Biden plotting with House Democrats to replace Kamala Harris? Sure looks that way, given some curious goings on, reported by, as I mentioned, Fox News straight news correspondent Chad Pergram. So according to the Daily Mail's report on this matter, citing Fox News's Jesse Waters show where Pergram appeared, quote, our Capitol Hill correspondent Chad Pergram tells us he's been hearing whispers suggesting that there could be some new high-profile confirmation hearings on the horizon in the House of Representatives. Why is this a big deal? Because the House does not confirm normal nominees. Understand, this is a confirmation for somebody in the House. In the House. The Senate confirms your attorney general, secretary of state, FBI director. I mean, you go down the list. That's the Senate's job. But what is the unique and special job that the House has? Well, go back to your model with the president and the vice president, right? One House confirms the president. That would be the House. One House confirms the vice president. That would be the Senate. In this case, the Senate does the heavy lifting on confirming executive nominees. But the House, they confirm a different sort of person. The House does not confirm normal nominees. It does confirm vice presidential nominees. Does this have something to do with Vice President Harris? It's been no secret that she's been running out of favor with the Biden team. There's a lot of conjecture right now about the future of Vice President Harris and her lagging poll numbers. Pergram said after Waters welcomed him on the segment, I got a message recently from someone who knows Capitol Hill very well, and they suggested I should familiarize myself with the process to confirm a vacancy for the vice president in the Senate and in the House. Pergram cautioned that this was amorphous stuff, but nevertheless, he thinks something is going on. It follows from news that Joe's team is embarrassingly slighting her at the signing ceremony for the Porculus infrastructure bill, something Harris actually worked on, but the White House seemed to have, quote, forgot. Harris has proven herself to be well beneath her office, given her gaffes, blunders, staff flight, failure to do her job, et cetera, et cetera. So Joe's opinion right now, his support is at 41%. The vice president supports it about 28.7%. The Pergram report follows from another rumor just a day ago of a Biden plan to kick Harris upstairs. Rumors have circulated that Biden may be considering nominating Harris for a Supreme Court seat if one becomes vacant so he can pick a new vice president. While White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki tweeted that Harris is a vital partner to Biden, the fact that the administration even felt the need to try and quell such reports suggests it may not be entirely unfounded. Harris herself, according to AMAC writer Shane Harris, is an unusually Machiavellian vice president who is openly plotting to eventually take the reins from Biden. She's bitten back against the CNN expose with Biden's racist charges, which appear in a long Edward Isaac Dover piece and colleague. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. Why would President Biden want to kick her upstairs to the Supreme Court? He may only have one Supreme Court pick. Why would he send her to the Supreme Court if she is somebody hostile to him? And if she's not popular as vice president, how do you suddenly become really popular if you get sent over to be nominated as a Supreme Court justice? That's a tricky situation. Especially when you consider that there are people in the Senate right now who are Democrats from Democrat states who might be a pretty good Supreme Court justice. Now, you may disagree with the ideology, but I'm just going to give you an example of one. You could send over, if you're Joe Biden, you could nominate Amy Klobuchar to the Supreme Court. Right? She's a prosecutor. She was, I think, was she an attorney general in the state of Minnesota? But she is somebody who's got a lot of experience, and she's also been on the Judiciary Committee. And she's from Minnesota, which means it's probably a safe replacement for her to go out. Why Vice President Harris? If you hate Vice President Harris, why would you do that? Apparently, given the backbiting that's taken place, some of the conversations include the current Vice President Kamala Harris bringing up the 25th Amendment in a non-joking way about Joe Biden. So would the exchange be, I'm going to send you to the Supreme Court and I'm going to get a different vice president? Who would that vice president be? Pete Buttigieg? That's not a diverse pick, except for one component. That's a white male from the Midwest. Who would Joe Biden be considering to bring in as a VP? I told you, the person that I would have picked if I was Joe Biden and I was being an across-the-aisle guy, I was going to be a very open, honest person. The person more qualified for this job would have been Val Demings, who's now running for the Senate in Florida, but she was a former police chief and would have given him cover on law and order issues, and in addition, would have given him cover on the state of Florida, a state that he got blown out.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is great to be here with you. And I hope you're having a wonderful afternoon. I am, for real, no doubt. Let me tell you a little bit about something that's happening. Do you remember these guys? It was a long time ago. They were in the news. They were the Taliban. Do you guys remember the Taliban being in the news? It was like a long time ago. The Taliban, well, the foreign ministry of the Taliban is urging the United States Congress in an open letter published today to unfreeze Afghan government assets to allow them to govern effectively, asserting that they are, quote, a united, responsible, and non-corrupt government. Really? Let me think about this for a minute. I don't know if I believe them. I don't think I believe them. Because they still have American hostages. Even though Joe Biden doesn't think that they still have American hostages, you and I both know they still have American hostages. And they're about to go through Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's. They're going to go into their second year, though not literally their second year of captivity. They're going to go into a second year of captivity because they're in the current year of captivity. And then they're going to go into a second year of captivity. Among the various reasons, the Foreign Affairs Ministry spokesman Abdul Kahar Baki listed for why Congress should support funding the Taliban were the Doha Agreement, brokered between the Taliban and the government of President Donald Trump last year, the upcoming winter, and one that's guaranteed to get El Faucho on board, the coronavirus pandemic in Afghanistan. The Taliban took over Afghanistan in August after President Joe Biden openly violated the agreement by extending the 20-year Afghan war through the second half of this year. The Trump administration had agreed to withdraw all U.S. troops from the country by May 1st. In response, Biden, the Taliban, launched a nationwide campaign to retake federal power, sending the U.S.-backed government fleeing out of Kabul and leaving a power vacuum. In response to the Taliban takeover, the United States froze Afghan government assets, as did major financial institutions like the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, and they did that to cite human rights considerations that the terrorists were violating and the fact that they did not represent a legitimate Afghan government. Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm old enough to remember when the generals said that the Taliban negotiated and comported themselves professionally, like a professional fighting force, when they helped hold the door open for us to get our people out during the Biden surrender. Rogue regimes like China, Russia, and Iran have enthusiastically supported unfreezing the assets and investing in the Taliban regime. Balki posted a video on Twitter reading an open letter signed by Acting Foreign Minister Amir Khan Muttaqi. They read it in English, which states that as former President Ashraf Ghani fled the country, the Taliban replaced the federal government at the request of the people and is as such a legitimate government. The Taliban has no elected leaders and has not made any material moves towards a democracy or a representative of the Afghan people. Hold on a second. Wait 1 minute here. Is Biden questioning the results of the election in Afghanistan? Well, I know there was no election in Afghanistan. Is he questioning the legitimacy of the takeover of Afghanistan by the Taliban? Is he trying to tell us that there's some other group that's actually in charge of Afghanistan that is not the Taliban? Because it is clearly the Taliban that is in charge of Afghanistan. Might makes right, doesn't it? I mean, come on. They're as legitimate as his friends in Iran, who are constantly trying to shake us down for billions of dollars, or they'll threaten to nuke Israel. So they say they are the legitimate government. The Doha Agreement envisioned positive relations between both countries in the future. We believe that full implementation of the Doha Agreement and commitment to it can open a new chapter of positive relations between both governments and people, which is in the interest of both countries. Well, I don't know if it's in the interest of both countries. I think it's in the interest of Afghanistan. I don't believe it's necessarily in the interest of the United States, considering we already took a whole bunch of refugees in from Afghanistan. Many of them were totally unscreened. We don't even know who they are. They just got on planes and we brought them out because they were so scared of you. You, Mr. Leader of the Taliban government. The agreement is named after the city where it was signed, the capital of Qatar, where the Taliban maintained political offices before its return to power. The letter emphasized that Taliban jihadists did not consider themselves to be at war with the United States anymore and allegedly wished to establish friendly diplomatic ties with Washington. Are you cool with establishing friendly diplomatic ties with the Taliban, ladies and gentlemen of Charlotte, and those of you listening on the app? Are you okay with getting back together with the Taliban? Even though we were never with the Taliban, but for being in close geographic proximity as our president surrendered on the ground in Afghanistan. It is quite surprising that with the announcement of the new government, the administration of the United States of America slapped sanctions on our assets. You do not want to have sanctions slapped on your assets ever. So their assets had sanctions slapped on them. This goes against our expectations for our assets, as well as the Doha Agreement. These guys like this agreement, man. Obviously, it benefits them hugely. They don't apparently like the international human rights framework, though, so that, you know, girls don't get sold into sexual slavery at 20 days of age, for God's sakes. Despite the fact that following the signing of the Doha Agreement in February 2020, we are no longer finding ourselves in direct conflict with one another, nor are we a military opposition. What logic could possibly exist behind the freezing of our assets? Mutaki asked. So, here's the thing. I think I know how we could fix this. They took all of our merch. They got our planes and our tanks and our automobiles, bootleg copies of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, John Candy videos, Who's the Boss? They got all that stuff. So, Mutaki, I got a message for you, Mutaki. Mutaki, if you don't want your assets frozen, then you need to give us back our Americans. Send them all back to us. Send all the Americans back to the United States. It's not that hard to do. Reach out to Tony Blinken, Abe Blinken, on YouTube. Reach out to him and say, we want to send the Americans back to America. Then at that point, we can talk about doing a settlement, giving you some money. But until then, we're just going to keep keeping your ass.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Set. News Talk 1110-993 WBT, Brett Winterble Show. Let me grab this call. We visit with Stan. Hey, Stan, welcome to the show. What's going on today?
Hi, Brett. I have a question for you and something that nobody has ever done any report about, and that is the four pipe bombs that were supposedly planted on January 6th.
Yes.
You would think that that would have been one of the most provable things, that there had been an insurrection, mm-hmm. and yet they never said, did they catch the people? Nothing ever happened. It's almost like they don't want to know what happened to them because they don't want us to know to cover it because they know who did it and they know why.
Well, the thing that was weird about the pipe bomb narrative, and you're right, it did disappear into the ether. What was weird about it was the pipe bombs were left out in front of the DNC and the RNC, if I remember right.
Right.
Okay, so it's there's not an obvious ideological bent unless, you know, you're hating both parties for whatever reason. But you never even saw any aggressive follow-up from the FBI at all.
No, you didn't. That's amazing that that didn't happen.
Right. And in addition, you know, from the limited knowledge I have of bombs, I mean, only by what I read in articles and things like that, you know, every person who constructs a bomb, you know, they have a little bit of a signature thing that they do that's different than anything else. And I'm just kind of wondering about, like, what do you end up, you know, don't you want to tell us, like, what it looks like, what happens, what's going on? I mean, very, very freaky. I think it's a very important point, Stan, but it's one of those things that goes down the memory hole and is never resurrected ever again, which is very strange.
That is correct. All right. Yeah. Thanks, Brett.
Appreciate you being there, Stan. Thanks, man. That's a very important point, because if you have... Well, I mean, look, let's go back to the January 6th riot, insurrection, whatever term people want to use. I stood in opposition to it. I would never support something like that, because I think being somebody in politics or with an interest in politics, you have to have a certain amount of maturity. And beating people up and making them vote a certain way, or rioting or blowing stuff up or shooting people, it's criminal. I mean, that's no way you want to have any kind of politics take place. That's not who we are as a country. But on this issue of what happened after January 6th, you remember the explosion of pictures that showed up. You had people on social media. You had people on Twitter doing real-time deep dives, identifying individuals and saying, okay, I found it. We matched his face to this Facebook page over in Oklahoma. I'm just, you know, using a random place. But they were able to track people down. The bomber photo that I recall seeing, and maybe you saw a different one, was somebody who looked to be dressed in all black. It was nighttime. You couldn't make out any features about their face. Maybe they had a mask over their face. And they left them in these two locations. What's that about? What's that about? You know, I mean, I just find myself puzzled about this, you know? It was just a strange sort of development that just kind of disappeared and went away. If you have a bomber running around, I'll give you an example. You remember how scared people were when John Allen Muhammad and the kid were in the back of the car sniping in D.C. back in, what was that, like 2003, something like that. And remember, they were sniping people all over Washington, D.C. They were able to track them down. Remember, they had the car, and in the trunk they had cut out the little thing so they could fire without being detected. I would think if in the wake of January the 6th, there was a couple of pipe bombs laid at two locations that are pretty sensitive, Republican headquarters, Democrat headquarters, you would have seen an all hands on deck thing, but you never even really saw that. You saw a lot of coverage of the shaman. You saw a lot of coverage of the shooting of Ashley Babbitt. You saw a lot of coverage of the destruction and the yelling and the screaming. But bombs? In a post 9/11 era that would normally be fixated with the Patriot Act, we don't have that. And while we're at this for a second on the Patriot Act, isn't it curious that with the Patriot Act, you see it deployed against parents at the school boards in Virginia and I'm sure beyond, but you've heard no mention of the invocation of the Patriot Act for the people who are sending death threats to the judge in the Rittenhouse case? You're not hearing any description or use of the Patriot Act to try to find out where the bomber came from. Are you kidding me? Washington, D.C. is fully surveilled. There are cameras everywhere in that city because of the sensitive locations. And by the way, the RNC and the DNC headquarters are not out in the boondocks. They're right there in the city. So you'd be able to trace back where these people came walking from. I'm almost willing to guarantee it. Plenty more straight ahead. 2 hours down, a great hour to go. Bo Thompson comes by. Mark Garrison comes by. Plus your phone calls. 704-570-1110. I'm Brett Witterbull. News Talk 1110, 993 WBT.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com. and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110 993 WBT. It is the Brett Witterbull Show. Great to be here with you. A question for you to ponder this hour. You can call in and weigh in on this thing. It's this. Multi-part. Take whatever part you want. Have you completed your Thanksgiving shopping? Have you completed your Thanksgiving shopping? Do you have your turkey? Do you have your stuff? Because we know there's supposed to be shortages. Number two, have you put your Christmas decorations up yet? Have you put up lights? Have you put up trees? Have you done your decorating yet? I believe that people are of two minds on that. And it looks like the dividing line is Thanksgiving. Once you get to Thanksgiving, then it appears that there are people who feel very comfortable putting their stuff up. There are other people who have just decided they're going to put it up now because the world is so crazy. They want to enjoy life. I respect both choices. I'm just curious, sort of like an instant flash poll with the audience here. Have you completed your Thanksgiving shop? Not your Christmas shopping. I'm sure people are still waiting to do Christmas and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and all that. But have you completed your Thanksgiving shopping, and have you put your Christmas things up yet? I have not put my Christmas stuff up yet. I have obtained the Christmas stuff in some measure. I know where it is. I can look at it, but I have not put it up yet. In fact, as I think about this, I think there's a couple of people in my neighborhood that still have a couple of lingering Halloween things around. I don't know about that, TJ. I don't know what that
is. I literally just took my Halloween stuff down today.
Really? Now, what do you count as Halloween? Because I saw pumpkins. I saw one. You know what? It may have been an errant thing. There was a rando ghost, like, in a bush. So I think they took everything down and they just, like, forgot about that. They forgot the one ghost.
So it ends up in the Christmas decoration.
Exactly right. Very good. Very good. So you just took your stuff down today, you said?
Yeah.
Wow, that's...
Like, it says... Happy Halloween.
That's awesome. Well, I see. I think you're in the window, though, because you're really only 17 days removed from Halloween. I mean, you haven't hit Thanksgiving. If you have that up after Thanksgiving.
Right. Yeah.
I always thought something that would be really wonderful just for 1 year, to do it 1 year, would be to aggregate the holidays and leave it all up till New Year's. Yeah. So, in other words, we start off with, what's the first one? Well, you got New Year's. And then you have Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And then you have St. Paddy's Day. And then you have Easter and Passover. And then you get to 4th of July, Labor Day, Memorial Day. And just leave it all up in an aggregated thing.
Yes.
We just keep adding to the memories.
I support that.
The HOAs will not support that. No. They will come through and be like, you're fined for everything. Yeah. I don't know what this stuff is.
All of it.
I put a Santa on the skeleton. I put a Santa hat on the skeleton. Come on now. It's really unbelievable. 704-570-1110. I'll ask Bo Thompson that too, because he's going to come by in just a little bit. If you're just joining us, we're continuing to monitor all these stories, the threat tags on the parents. We've got the censure of Representative Gozar. They've removed him from committees because of the violent video that he put out targeting AOC and President Biden. We're waiting a verdict in Rittenhouse. We're waiting to see what's going to happen with the Ahmaud Arbery case as they continue their fight down in Georgia, presenting the case and examining the witnesses. So I'm just kind of curious. All this stuff is fair game. If it's moving out there in the news cycle, we certainly want to hear from you, 704-570-1110. This is a very interesting message coming in here. I'm going to take this call early. This is William. William, welcome to the program. What's your decoration situation?
Hey, well, no Christmas, no Thanksgiving. Not one dime is going to be spent. All of my funds are going to pay off for a fee related to a windfall. And this was because of a wonderful IRS agent that gave a great suggestion unofficially. Mm-hmm. And so he said, you know, pay off all your debt first. Mm-hmm. Then wait, January 1st. Mm-hmm. So just have a big celebration then. And surely enough, a bill came. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I'm paying that off so that there will not be a penalty.
Oh, well, that makes total sense. I get that. Now, are you a single guy? You got a family? How's that?
I was blessed to have been married.
Mm-hmm.
She passed away. We divorced. I was a single parent.
I'm sorry.
But I was blessed to be able to raise two wonderful, beautiful children, mm-hmm. learn how to do all the hairstyles, and, mm-hmm. you know, my mm-hmm. daughters. So she didn't like them sometimes. and then I was blessed to have a wonderful beloved, and but as of now, mm-hmm. I'm just very blessed with things, and
that's
so
good.
I'm just hoping
that's good.
That big celebration for me and everyone else. I'm probably gonna just bless as many people as I can with my time.
That's
and
awesome.
Talent.
That's now. So here's what you got to do. Once you get to the first of the year, I'm gonna give you a homework assignment. You can call me back anytime you want, but call me after the first year. Put a note, a post-it note up, and give us a report back on how you feel having done all that and gone through all that. All righty.
I will.
You got it. I appreciate you being out there, William. God bless, man.
Thanks
I appreciate
for being
you.
Being outspoken.
Oh, well, thanks for being part of it.
We need more of that.
I appreciate you, man. Be safe out there. That's William checking in. Let me get this guy, too. David, what's going on? Welcome to the program.
Hey, listen, I really enjoy your show. So, childhood memory, Chester, South Carolina, about an hour or so south of Charlotte.
Yes, sir.
The Monday after Thanksgiving was the Chester Christmas Parade.
Uh-huh.
So, of course, you know, the parade went right smack dab through the middle of downtown, went Gadsden Street.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the parade, all the downtown merchants would stay open till about 8 o'clock, because the parade was like at 4.
Right.
So that moms and dads could go around and do their Christmas shopping.
Ah, like that.
So that's in my mind, Thanksgiving is the kickoff to Christmas.
That's great. I like that. See, I would love to get back to that tradition as a rule of thumb, because it feels to me like we rush through so many of these, we don't even enjoy them. You know, I mean, that's it. It's an incredible thing. Thank you, David, for checking in with us. That's a really good tradition. There's also another tradition, which is take your turkey to go. I got to put up the Christmas tree. So it's been really great. Sorry you can't watch the second half of the game. We'll give you a little hot plate. There you go. We're putting up lights. Please don't put up lights if you've been drinking beers all afternoon, cooking the turkey. That's wait till tomorrow.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk, 1110, 99.3 WBT, Brett Winterbull Show. It's that time when we cross the streams AM and PM, PM and AM. Bo Thompson, good to have you back, my friend.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. Spent some time earlier today with Dr. Rush Sunar. You know, we were talking and a little bit of an early Thanksgiving conversation and celebration and meeting up and that kind of stuff. And, I threw this question out to the audience. I'll throw it out to you. Have you completed your Thanksgiving shopping yet?
No, but I'm not really in charge of that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think we've bought some of it, but not all of it, because we're waiting to see exactly how many people we're going to have mm-hmm. to accommodate, basically. So, uh-huh. As much as can be bought, yes, but some will have to be done closer mm-hmm. to time, because they're still trying to figure out who's coming into town and who's going where.
Gotcha. Okay, have you put up Christmas lights / decorations yet?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Never until after Thanksgiving.
We are of the same mind, my friend. I appreciate that.
Do you have people in the room who aren't that way?
We got people who have reached out to me to tell me that they've put their stuff up. And I've seen people in my neighborhood that have definitely got their stuff up, Christmas stuff.
I haven't seen a whole lot of lights up in my neighborhood. I noticed some lights at some businesses around town as I was driving into work this morning, mm-hmm. actually. But I don't know. In my house, it was always sort of, you know, Thanksgiving was the point of delineation.
Right.
I feel like last year they went up earlier because people were kind of grasping at something,
yes.
something positive. So I feel like last year people sort of undoubtedly went a little overboard with the lights, because you couldn't go outside much and a lot of things were closed. But this year and in most years, I feel like there's some people who will do the maybe mid-November thing. But see, my house is not so much We like to go out and look at the lights, but we don't put up that many in our house.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more of a, you walk inside my house and the Christmas music. The Christmas music argument is more of a thing in my house than the lights are.
Mm-hmm. Would you have a Christmas Story leg lamp in your window?
Would I? Yes. Would my wife? No way. And you know what?
Oh, TJ's got one. I didn't realize TJ had one. I'm envious of you, TJ.
My wife would not go for that, but because of the movie, I'd love to have one, but that would never happen.
Okay. Maybe for the man cave at some point or something.
Yeah, the man cave. That's right. That's where it would go.
That's where it would go. Interesting story. Going off the kind of the big political stuff that's happening here. So there is a lawsuit that's been filed as a result of the Rust shooting that was involving Alec Baldwin. This report coming out, New York Post, Alec Baldwin intentionally fired a gun towards cinematographer Helena Hutchins on the Rust movie set, disregarding set protocol in the deadly shooting, according to a 30-page lawsuit filed by the film's script supervisor. This is quite an allegation.
Yeah, press conference today. I saw some of it with attorney Gloria Allred.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess... to be expected, not so much the 30-page and what specifically has been charged, but to be expected that a lot more was going to come out of this. And by the looks of today, and even pointing back to the, I think before this is all over, the Alec Baldwin speaking to the reporters on the side of the road
mm-hmm.
is going to be something that he wishes he did not do. I was really surprised that he did that. I feel like, you know, this is going to have a lot more chapters to it before it's over. And it's probably, I mean, obviously it's a terrible happening, the initial thing that started all of this. But I think the back and forth in the wake of it, it's going to get ugly.
It's going to be something that's interesting because, remember, there's a huge lag before these things go to trial, and what'll happen is we'll go through life, a whole bunch of things will happen between now and the time at which that trial starts, and then we'll be brought back to it, and we'll be like, oh yeah, I remember when that, you know, it's one of those odd things that the way the time change, you know, moves over time with these circumstances that, you know, this is something that's going to become much more clear in the months still to come because of testimony and depositions and all that kind of stuff.
Well, and when the script supervisor has linked up with Gloria Allred,
yep.
and you have Alec Baldwin, who is by nature a dramatic person. I mean, he's an actor, but he's
yes.
a dramatic guy. I mean, we've all heard interviews with him over the years. I mean, he'll tell you how he thinks, mm-hmm. and that's probably you know his best bet right now. I'm sure his legal team is probably telling him, don't talk.
That's right.
Let this out, and let's see where this goes.
All right. Elsewhere, in a sort of a cultural sort of a concern here, I don't know a single person that doesn't love a good High School Musical. I'm sure you probably loved some High School Musicals in your day. I've loved them myself. Guilty
as charged. Not only that, I actually went to a musical about 2 years ago when my kids were in middle school. At AG Middle School, mm-hmm. where I went to middle school,
mm-hmm.
and watched a play in the same multi-purpose room that I had watched
one
student.
Whoa!
And not only that, on top of that, you know, mm-hmm. they've had... I went to AG and I went to Myers Park. So if you go on those two campuses, there are plenty of areas that have been rebuilt or added. But there are a few places mm-hmm. where you can walk, and it's exactly the way it was when I was there, and this particular room and the stage and the feel, everything was exactly the same. So I don't mean to go down that rabbit hole.
Sure.
I seen one recently. I saw it in the same place, and it was Rock of Ages.
Outstanding. That's terrific. I like that. I'm down with that.
And it was really well done. I was really mm-hmm. impressed. But, mm-hmm. yeah, I've definitely seen him when I was a student, and I've seen him as a parent now.
Well, in Australia, they're getting rid of Grease. They won't do Grease. Because they've called into question, you know, some of the things that are in the musical. Sandy's willingness to change herself in a bid to win the love of Danny. Also, some of the lyrics from the famous song Summer Nights, which asks if Sandy put up a fight as Danny got hot and heavy with her during their first date. It's causing people to say, we're going to cancel this. We don't want to do it. Or we're not doing this show anymore. It's no good for the high school kids or the kids.
You know, I spent 6 summers as a camp counselor down at Camp Thunderbird at Lake Wylie.
Sure.
And it's actually where I met my wife, and I was a camper there too, so I spent a good portion of my formative years working down there. And, you know, we sang that song, Summer Lovin', that was a staple of, you know, and I'm sure people listening right now who went to other summer camps, I mean, same type deal, you know, mm-hmm. is it in a play or is it one of the songs you sing or around the campfire? All this is being re-examined now.
I'm going to recommend, I'm going to insert myself into this very quickly and recommend an appropriate switch. They need to all do Xanadu and they need to do it on roller skates.
Well, you keep the Olivia Newton-John connection.
100% I do. Well, what do we got coming up on the Bo Thompson Show tomorrow?
Well, obviously, as you are awaiting the Rittenhouse trial verdict, we'll be keeping an eye on that tomorrow. We have Bill Graham, our longtime legal analyst, who will join us at 9:35 to talk about that. Also, tomorrow is Thursday. Brett Jensen joins me for the 2 hours, 8 to 10. David Chadwick in the house. Ron Rivera spoke today about returning to Carolina. Some great audio from that press conference. And much more tomorrow starting at 5 a.m.
Looking forward to it, my friend. Enjoy the evening, and we'll pick it up tomorrow.
You too. Talk tomorrow.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
I have a theory about the President of the United States. I think they're trying to counter-program the Five. Because he's in Detroit at a car place, and he's touting the infrastructure agenda, his sweeping agenda. Now, it is 5:36 at night, and he's in Detroit. Why? Like, why wouldn't you go there at 3:30 in the afternoon and then be part of all the news coverage all night long? He's there at 5:30 at night. I think that's really weird. And this is the second time this week he's done like a later afternoon evening event. Remember, he was doing the thing on the lawn of the White House, and he was counter programming the Five, because the Five was on at the same time. Now the Five is on again. I think he's single handedly trying to take on the Five on Fox. Good luck, Mr. President. People love that Jesse Waters. I don't know. I just think it's weird to do these events this late. I remember President Trump did events late, but there was really no early or late with President Trump. I mean, he was kind of like a 24-hour president. I mean, you could get tweets at literally any time of the day or night and takes on things. But I want to go back to the story that we were talking about, that Bo and I were talking about, this idea that, well, we have to get rid of Greece. Greece is no good. Even though Greece is the word, Greece is no good. We can't do it. We're going to get rid of these plays. Okay, so what are we replacing the plays with? Well, we're going to have appropriate plays and musicals that represent, of course, the musicals that are contemporary and relevant to the people of today. Well, how do we do that? Like, I can think of a bunch of musicals that can get totally canceled. Okay, South Pacific. You could totally cancel that musical. And it's a staple of high school, programming when it comes to doing a play. There's a ton of them. Greece, obviously, right? That's going to be an issue. And so how do we strike this balance with stuff that came out of the golden age of theater? You know, you really think about this. You have issues with, like I said, South Pacific. You have a number of other ones that are going to have to get, blown out, gotten rid of. It's not appropriate any longer. And some of these are not readily apparent. Hairspray. Can we do Hairspray? Can we do Rocky Horror Picture Show? Okay, here's one that like is a staple of so many musicals at theaters. West Side Story. West Side Story. That's got 15 cancelable points. You have racial strife, ethnic strife. You have questions over relationships. You also have violence, including knives. And it's based on Romeo and Juliet, which, by the way, is like the most misogynistic play of all time, by the most misogynistic playwright of all time, in William Shakespeare. Not really. But nevertheless, how do you do this? How do you navigate this kind of stuff? You know, I think it's a difficult situation. And there are tons of other ones, too. I mean, you can get into a whole bunch of other ones as well. So you are going to be, it's going to be fraught. It's going to be fraught to do this. I don't know what you end up doing. I think what you do maybe is you get the People's History of the United States by Howard Zinn, and you turn that into a play. You know. I think that's what you got to do. I think that's what's got to happen. I think we're going to read extremely liberal books by extremely liberal professors, and then we'll do Trump the Musical. And Adam Schiff will be the hero. Adam Schiff will be the hero. Putin wants me to lay on the bed with the two. You know what? I think we should write Trump the Musical. And Schiff can be the hero of the musical. He won't say much. He'll just have like enormously surprised eyes at all times. Whoa. Understand? You're offering me nude pictures of the president. Please send them immediately to me. You know, something like that. Be great. It's going to be awesome. John, welcome to the show. What's on your mind, sir?
Talking about Sound of Music.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of the Sound of Putin.
The Sound of Putin. That's a win right there. That was, you know what? That was fast. That guy was fast. I literally, what was that? A nanosecond? Was that a nanosecond? Might have been a decasecond. Might have been two nanoseconds. I made the joke. He's on the spot. He delivers that punchline flawlessly. You know how hard that is to time that? It's really a challenge. You have to get rid of the Seussicles. All the Dr. Seuss stuff. Can you do Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? I don't think you can, because it deals with the bipolar. Wow. I got it. I bet you money, if I put this out as a musical, you would go and see it. Are you ready? Hunter, the musical. Hunter, the musical. Hunter, the musical would be phenomenal. Because it would have the elements of the Rocky Horror Picture Show with the weird outfits and the jumping and gyrating and all that kind of stuff. And it would be so cool. But I think I would cast Chris Christie in the role of Meatloaf.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Mark Garrison comes up next with Charlotte at 6. Hello, Mark Garrison.
Hello there.
It's good to have you here.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
So, we got a big show coming up here, especially with Breaking Brett Jensen coming by. What's going on?
Yeah, big meeting of parents this evening at Hopewell High in Huntersville, where kids had a big brawl in the hall, 5 arrested. Some of them brought guns to school. Superintendent said nothing. School board said nothing. So one school board member said, well, phooey on this, and she has put together a town hall meeting. It could get pretty heated. Be interesting to see what happens. Mm-hmm. By the way, the FBI, local FBI, told me they're not going to attend the meeting.
Oh, wow. They're not even going to record license plates. Huh?
But they did say they would talk to local cops if it got into something the feds needed to know about. And mm-hmm. I asked, well, what might that be? And they didn't answer.
They said, say hello to Mr. Click.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Twists and turns in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. The jury wants to see more video. The defense says that should be grounds for a mistrial. Yeah. We'll have the latest from there at 6:20. 6:23, a Charlotte restaurant that's known for feeding everybody free, and I mean everybody at Thanksgiving that shows up there.
Awesome.
And they've done it for years. This year, said they can't do it.
Oh, my God.
Talk to the owner about why. And then at 6:35, you'll love this. Success at 6, school teacher with a strange side hustle. He makes moonshine soap.
Wow! That is outstanding. I'm in. I'm in 100% on that. The only thing I'm not in on is breakfast for dinner.
Yeah, we need to take you to an IHOP and straighten you out. Or to a Waffle House.
I was listening to that last night, and I was like, you know, I got to maybe rethink this.
So, yeah, you need to rethink it. Yeah.
I'll rethink it. All right, well, I'm not going to rethink Charlotte at 6. Right, that's good. Mandatory listening.
Well, I'm glad you think so.
You got it, buddy. Thank I appreciate you being there. That's Mark Garrison coming up, Charlotte at 6. Especially want to find out what's going to be happening with the town hall meeting there in Huntersville, because we all want our kids to be kept safe, no doubt. Let's go to Brandon next up. Brandon, welcome to the program. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, man?
It's good to have you here.
Yeah, you too. Well, obviously.
Thanks.
see you every day. No, I was just wondering, you know, ask Josh, when I wanted to ask you a question, you know, when is it going to come a time when the rest of the world cancels us because we're canceling so much of our own culture, you know?
I mean, that's a good point. It's a fair point. I don't understand this idea of worrying that other people are offended. There's no guarantee in life that you're not going to be offended by who knows what. I mean, anything can be offensive, but does that mean we cancel it? I don't think we ought to. I mean...
No, absolutely not. I mean, and you know, people, honestly, people being offended, a lot of times that's what creates growth. And
oh, yeah. The greatest artists of all time offended. I mean, come on. Galileo offended those by saying that, you know, heliocentric, you know, I mean, all of that sort of stuff. I mean, this is how you have great achievements and great art is created and all that. And then, of course, there's a lot of really lousy, awful art, too, that gets created that offends people. And
well, you know, like Picasso.
Yeah, exactly right, Picasso. Hey, I want to ask you a question because I haven't talked to you in a while. Let me ask you a quick question. Have you, and I'm dead serious, this is not a joke, no, not at all.
Okay.
How have you weathered this Let's Go Brandon thing? I mean, do you just get teased about it all the time with your friends? And I mean, how have you weathered that little bit of a storm?
I don't get teased about it, no.
Okay.
I embrace it. I think it's awesome.
That's cool.
Really, you know, and I even heard it on the radio earlier today. I was like, what? Did I just hear that?
Yeah, it's in a spot that we run. That's right. It is in a spot.
Yeah. I was like, that's amazing. I mean, but, you know, it takes things like that to
right.
People can't be, we're going to go down the spiral of, like a downward spiral of,
yes.
You know, canceling everything until there's nothing left. And then what are we going to have? You know,
that's right. And we have to remember this. OK, the more you try to press to get rid of something, I mean, they tried it with rock and roll. They tried it with every other sort of art form you can think of.
Very true.
You only create more of it, man. You just create that hunger and that desire. And the more they tried to get rid of Let's Go Brandon, man, more people were chanting Let's Go Brandon. I mean, that's
absolutely. I mean, you have the rebellious teenager for a reason.
So. Absolutely. Well, Brandon, you are a great American, and I appreciate you coming by, my friend.
Hey, no problem, man. I'll call back.
Please do. Absolutely. That's Brandon. I'm curious because I talk to people and they're, who are named Brandon. I have a lot of, I probably have like four or five Brandons that I know personally. And I've talked to a couple of them about it and said, like, what do you think about that? One of them told me, dude, I bought a banner for the front of my house because my neighbors know that that's my name and they think it's funny. And so, you know, you look at this sort of stuff, lampooning, making fun, mocking, what have you, in terms of the spirit in which it's intended, that's a super healthy attitude. America and the great cultures across the spectrum, the great cultures understand humor and comedy and irony and dirty jokes and all sorts of things, you know, sarcasm, all that. And people understand that's how people communicate. Now, you don't want to target people. You don't want to dehumanize people. You don't want to do that kind of stuff. But in terms of having conversations with people and measuring every single word that comes out of your mouth, and as you're about to say it, and you say, "Wow, is there anything contained in this sentence that is going to get me canceled?" That's a really hard way to live your life. If you're a talk show host, if you're in a profession, if you're a teacher, if you're a professor, if you're any of that sort of stuff. And you have to remember this. Athletes talk about this all the time. If you worry about getting hurt playing football or any other sport, odds are you're going to get hurt. You're not going to play all out. And so that's what you have to remember. Life is a contact sport in a lot of ways, but it's about respecting the innate dignity of everybody so that we can all get to a much better place that I think is important. But comedy and art and stuff, it's an important part of culture as well. Otherwise, it is a very, very miserable place. Thanks to TJ and Josh and Anna and Boomer, Mark Garrison and Brett Jensen, and of course, my good friend, Bo Thompson. We'll pick it up again tomorrow starting at 3. I'm Brett Witterbull, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT.